Gami was unhappy as a sorcerer. When he met an old missionary, he found out why. Listen to the rest of Rebecca's account of Gami Akage.
There were cars, there were stores. He was scared to death. He'd never seen anything like it. He grew up in the village. None of his people had been out before. In a few days' time, though, he got used to it, and he managed to find the school. Forget how many witch doctors were running it, prominent leaders in New Guinea, some of them are now in Parliament, very important figures in the country. They took Gami under their wing and began to teach him to be a priest. There they call it Anglicans, which I don't know. Maybe they heard the Australian name Anglican, that's what they call it, but it's sorcery. And he began to learn the fine arts of sorcery, and he also began to learn how to drink. They had whiskey in town. He learned how to smoke marijuana and cigarettes. He learned how to fight in the street manner, how to kill. And he also became very unhappy. He didn't understand why. He was in a very desired spot. Not many boys in New Guinea are destined to be the leader of their people. And not many boys had the chance to become a mighty sorcerer, one of the most feared kind of leaders in New Guinea. But he was so unhappy. And one day he met another boy about his own age called Teo. And Teo was different. He always had a smile on his face. And Teo said to Gami, "You know, Gami, I used to be like you until I met a man named Jesus. Can I tell you about Jesus, Gami?" And Gami said, "Sure." So he told him about Jesus. But Gami said, "You know, I've never heard this before, but for some reason, I don't think my witch doctors would like it very much." And he said, "You know, I don't think you should talk to me about this anymore." And he went on his way, but a couple weeks later, Teo came and he said, "Gami, the church that I go to, they're going to have a Wantok day." Now, in Pidgin, Wantok means like best friend, or the equivalent would be best friend. And he said, "I don't have a good friend here in town. Would you come with me, Gami? Would you be my friend?" Oh, Gami was flattered. "Sure, I'll be your Wantok." So he went to Wantok's day with Teo. Now there at church that day, they had a missionary. And this missionary had been in the country many years. He was an old man, and he spoke their language. And that day he preached about hell and the wages of sin. And Gami, he clung to the pew in front of him till his knuckles were white. And he was shaking all over. He said, "In our legends, we've heard of this place of fire." And the man preached about sin and what sin was and how it makes you unhappy and how when you die, you go to hell. And he was scared to death. And as soon as the man finished preaching, Gami ran to the front and he grabbed the preacher around the knees and he said, "Save me, I'm going to fall into hell." And the man took the afternoon and he talked to Gami all afternoon until he clearly understood the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Gami Akage got saved. And you know, he said, "I can't keep the name Gami anymore. That's the name of a mighty sorcerer." He said, "From now on, I'm Alan." And he went back to his room where he was living, and he told the people, he said, "I have something to tell you. I got born again. I can't be a sorcerer anymore." And they said, "You what?" And they grabbed his bags and they threw him in the street. And he didn't have a place to live anymore. And he didn't have any food to eat or any money. And he wandered around for a few days until he found the missionary that had preached that day. And he told him his story. And the missionary said, "Well, there's a school here. And I think they'll let you go if you just, get a part-time job and take care of yourself." And so for 3 years there in town, Alan studied at this school. It was in a church in the evenings. And he learned how to read the Bible. They gave him a Bible. And he learned a little bit of English. He learned some doctrines. He didn't know much at all. But he learned a little bit, and he met a girl named Priscilla. And she was a coastal girl there from a different village who also spoke English. And they got married. And one day, Gami said, "You know, my people are back in the jungle in the village." He said, "They're waiting for me to come back. And when I get back, I'll be the leader. And they'll listen to me. They'll do everything I say. And they expect me to be a mighty sorcerer." And he said, "I'm afraid of what they're going to say when they hear I'm a Christian." But he said, "You know, it's a lot more important that I go back and tell them that it is for me to stay here. And will you go with me?" And Priscilla said, "I'll go wherever you go." So she went with him. and they flew back to that little airstrip and climbed till they approached the village, and the people saw him coming from a distance, and you could hear the women crying, "Mam yande ni yande sao sao, mam yande ni yande sao sao," and the children were jumping up and down, mimicking him, and here came old Akij, running out from the village, and he embraced his son, and he said, "Niande, bayim pasao, my son, you have returned as the leader." And all day long, for 3 days, they feasted and celebrated the return of Alan Gamyakij. And in the Kumboi language, it's rude to immediately introduce any subject of importance. And you never talk standing up. And so for 3 days, Alan didn't mention anything. He waited until the celebration was over. And then he went to his father's house in the evening, and he sat down. There's a few seconds of silence. His father knew that he had something important to say. He knew for 3 days he had something important to say. But now, culturally, it was appropriate. It was the right time. And everybody else filed out of the house. It was time for Gami and Akij to speak. And all night long, the fire burned. And Alan told old Akij what had happened to him in town. He told him the story of Jesus. And Akij listened in silence. And when Alan was finished, he said, "My son, I've never heard anything like this before. I need to think about it." And he disappeared into the jungle. And Alan waited, and he prayed, and he waited, and he prayed. And about a week later, Akij came out of the jungle. And he came straight to Alan, and he took him by the opposite shoulder, and he said, "My son, what you say rings true. The universe bears witness of it." And and old Akij was born again.
Amen.
Akij was thrilled, to say the least. And Gami, or Alan, was thrilled, and he now had the blessing of his father to preach to his brothers. And Jerry was the first one to be born again after Alan, then Lawrence, Stephen, Dick, who else was there, Peter. And one after another, his brothers were saved. And the Kumboi culture, praise God, unlike many other places, the Kumboi culture is such that every single man is a spokesman. Every single man is an aggressive leader. And every man that was born again among the Kumboi people overnight became a preacher of the word. They told what they knew aggressively. And within a few years, all of Alan's immediate family were believers. And his brothers began going to enemy villages, the village that killed him and ran him out. Years before, they went there and they preached and people got saved. And they kept going. They understood so little, just the gospel story. But they were so aggressive in it. They were so changed. Their lives were changing. And they were so thrilled with this message that they just kept going and going. And 9 years later, there were over 500 believers still actively witnessing all the time. And seven villages, not all the same language group, three different language groups that had believers praying for each other, keeping track of who got saved. Every time somebody got saved in another village, somebody would come as a runner, a bearer of the good news to all the villages and say, "So-and-so got saved." And it's still going today. Well, a few years ago, some of the boys, Jerry, Lawrence, Pastor Allen's brothers, came to him and said, "You know, you've done a good job. You're our leader, and you didn't have to stay here in poverty and teach us. But you've taught us well, and you taught us everything you know. But, Alan, it's not very much, you know. The Bible's a big book, and we know that God's got a lot in there he could tell us. And we want to know what the rest of it says. We want to know what God says in that book." And Alan said, "You know, you're right." He said, I want to know so bad what that book says." He said, "I think we should pray that God will send us somebody to teach us that book." And so they began to pray for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years. And then one day Alan flew back to town, very rare that he ever had the money to fly to town. And the 3 days that he was there, he met a missionary on the streets that had been there for years. And the missionary said, "You know, I've got two Americans at my house that are looking for a place in New Guinea to minister. Would you like to come by and talk to them?" And so Alan went by Jerry Williams' house, and there he met me and my brother Gabriel. And we talked all afternoon, and he told us the story about the boy Gami. and about how the gospel reached the Kumboi people. And he asked us to come visit, which I did. Gabriel and I went and spent a week there among them.
As always, we hope you were blessed by what you've heard today. And again, remember to check out our great weekly online specials.